Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It's the 8 for 52 podcast, driven by Cricket Hong Kong China, back for season 3.
It's the 8 for 52 podcast, proudly supported by Cricket Buzz, driven by Cricket Hong Kong China. Bushy with you. Post Hong Kong Sixes, what a fabulous 3 days of cricket it was. Sitting here in one of the player dugouts that they used. Congratulations to Pakistan holding aloft the cup for 2025. Oh, they're champions so often in this format. And well done, Hong Kong China, the plate champions. Oh, did you see that game? That last over needing 30 for victory. Azaz Khan, we only had one wicket in hand, his wicket. And he decided to smash 32, leaving Hong Kong the champions of the plate and scoring my favourite score of all time, of course, 1-2-3-4-5 to get the victory over Bangladesh. And last year's cup champions ended up being the bowl champions this year. It was Sri Lanka, of course. It was just an absolutely exciting weekend of cricket. Looking forward for another one next year, of course. Of course, we've got lots of domestic cricket to talk about coming up in the podcast. As always, Atif Hussain and Jazz will join us for their segments later on. But Atif's going to actually walk into camera now because we're going to talk a little bit about the DP World Asia Cup Rising Stars. Atif, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Bushy.
The players, they've jumped on the plane straight after the Hong Kong Sixes and they're in Qatar, I do believe, at the moment.
Yes.
For a pre-tournament. We're going to put the team, the 14 players, up on the screen now so you can see who's over on tour. A few changes from the Asia Cup non-Rising Stars edition. Atif, who's in and who's out?
Yeah, so Shiv Mathur as well as Hasan Khan, the fast bowler from KCC, joining the team
for
the
tournament. Took him a month and a half at KCC, back into the Hong Kong China lineup. Love to see it. Hasan Khan, the quick, and of course, the under-19 captain, Shiv Mathur. So that means a few missed out. There were 17 that went to the Asia Cup in September.
Certainly. So there are a few of them who missed out, most notably Martin Kotizier. He's not in this squad. I think Ali Hassan, the young leg spinner, is not there. Shahid Wasif is not there. And if I remember correctly, Ayush Shukla is not there. He's been rested as well.
Now, that's where Hasan Khan coming in. But they've left one spinner out of the tournament, Ali Hassan. So they're going to go in with a pretty fiery pace attack. They've got the spinners, of course. They've got Yasim. They've got Ehsan. They've got Nazakat. They should be fine. And they've got the warm-up tour this week. Actually, it'll be done before this podcast comes out. And then we get in to the big ones. And I did notice, looking at the fixtures, we'll put the fixtures up on screen right now, ACC haven't been very inventive here. They've done exactly the same fixtures for the Rising Stars and the pool groups as they did for the normal Asia Cup. So we are in the same group again with Bangladesh and Afghanistan. I thought they could have mixed it up. Maybe we got to play Pakistan. Maybe we got to play India A.
For sure.
But as it is, we'll be playing Bangladesh A on Saturday, November 15. Want to get off to a good one, I think, with that one. There's quite a few players in those three teams I mentioned, and Sri Lanka is the other one that Hong Kong's up against, that actually came to the Sixes.
Exactly, I was going to say. I mean, almost the whole of a Bangladesh team is the same that is going to represent Bangladesh, both here at Sixes as well as in Qatar.
Well, after Azaz Khan's effort, we've got the psychological advantage over it.
We certainly do.
Blistered them. Six balls of hell for Bangladesh. Then on the 17th, Sri Lanka A versus Hong Kong China, which of course will be a very big game for our new head coach, Kaushal Silva.
It will be. And it'll be, I think he's really gotten on well here in Hong Kong. certainly with the boys and the way he has shaped up the team. So I think he'll be all right.
And the final game, Wednesday, November 19th. Well, hopefully not the final game for Hong Kong, China, but the final pool game will be Afghanistan A against Hong Kong, China. How do you see that one going? That's going to be a tough one.
That is going to be a tough one. But I think our boys, especially after they played Heroics here in Hong Kong Sixes, as well as the way they've been training and everything, I think they'll be in good shape. So I think Afghanistan A, are definitely going to get a good game in there.
Yeah, well, for two of the games of the Asia Cup non-Rising Stars version, we pushed the teams hard. So now it's the youngsters representing Sri Lanka, Bangladesh and Afghanistan. So we've got a real chance to push on to the semi-final, I think.
Certainly do.
So we'll find out about that. That's on November 21st. And if we make the final, always a chance. And that'll be on Sunday, November 23rd. It's all being held in Qatar.
Doha, yes.
What a fabulous tournament for Qatar to be hosting the DP World West End at West End International Cricket Stadium. It is going to be a good one. You can probably catch that on CricBuzz.
Certainly, yes. CricBuzz is definitely going to be one of the places where we can watch it.
Love to see it. That's what's coming up when we've got some results to check out right now.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Let's have a look at all the weekend results from around Hong Kong.
Yes, well, we got all excited about the Hong Kong Sixes. We have to check all the domestic games as well. Atif Hussain with me as always. All I know, I'm not going to say what the score was, but I had a shocker in these 2 weeks of cricket games. You weren't much better, but you were far better than me. We're going to start with the plod, the final round, to decide who made it into the final against PACC. And it was Hong Kong Premier up against Diaskwa Little Sai Wan. Another almost 400 runs scored by HKCC. That pitch up there is a blessing. That's a big score. 378 for eight. Another ton for the Cat and a ton for Anshuman Rath. Handy 30 from the captain, Kinshit Shah, getting the score up to 378 for eight. How was the bowling?
So the bowling was, as you can see, 378 runs scored against them. I mean, they were not at their best, if I can say so. But Shahryar Khan, I think he was pick of the bowler with 3 wickets. Ahsan Khan also picked up a couple of wickets.
Yeah, tried to chase it down. And a big score from Diaskwa Little Sai Wan. They scored 283 and still managed to lose by 95 runs. Of course, had the Ali top scoring with a 77. Half century. Is that Shahryar Khan with a half century?
Yeah,
did it with bat and ball, trying to help his team. Arez Dar with a 39. The bowling figure's a bit nicer for one man.
Yes, and that was Adil Mahmood. I think he, not just the wicket, I think economy in regards to this particular game was good as well. Luke Jones picking up wicket along with Khan.
Yeah, Mohsin Khan.
Mohsin Khan, that is the left armer. So, yeah, HKCC Premier winning by 95 runs and
yep, put some straight into the final against PACC coming up November 30 now. There's been obviously a date change.
Exactly.
So that'll be a blistering one. We'll obviously preview that coming up in the fixtures. The other game, which may have decided who went into the final, but in the end it was a dead rubber. KCC Premier up against USRC Premier. KCC, again, the Premier side not managing to bat their full 50, but the score was good enough. 284 for 10, bowled out with an over and a half to spare. And again, that man that saved KCC this season, time and time again. Azaz Khan with a century. He's in some great form. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do over there in Doha. Tommy Heisinger with a half century as well. He's been in the runs all Premier League, 54.
Yeah, after his batting heroics in the corporate sixes, I think he was informed to score those runs.
Yeah.
Was it before?
I think it was before. Okay. The corporate sixes came afterwards. I think this 54 led to him getting play. He was the player of the tournament in
exactly.
the KCC corporate sixes. Tommy's on a roll, and the head coach, Waqas Bakkat, with a 32. The bowling, Atif.
So Zeeshan Iftikhar picked up 3 wickets for 15 runs in his 3 overs. I'm surprised he didn't bowl more. I was looking at the scorecard and I was like, he just bowled 3 overs, picking up 3 wickets. And
what happened is he bowled early, got hit for 12 by memory, and then came back and bowled 2 overs, 3 for 3. But it was that was later on when the wickets were falling. So there weren't more overs really to give him. His first over, yeah, they dragged him immediately because he was getting punished.
Ooh. So Ali Hassan, who just missed out on the national duty in Qatar, picked up 2 wickets along with Mohammad Okasha Umarzai.
Yeah, and trying to chase it down. They went close, but really it wasn't as close as it looks. KCC winning by 62. The game was pretty much cooked by the time Fahad Hayat came to the crease. And so he had the freedom to do what he wanted and did so, scoring a 73 off 43. Put a few butterflies through the hearts of the KCC supporters that were watching on the balcony. But in the end, that was the only half score bubber out for a 29 as well. And they shared the wickets, KCC.
Yes, they did. So Daniel Pascoe was pick up the bowler in his 10 overs. He picked up 3 wickets for 40 runs. Atiq Rahman, also great figures on paper, 2 for 23 in his 8.5 overs. And Waqas Bakkat, the head coach, again, chipping in with 2 wickets again.
Which is what KCC does. That's 18 overs from the Austin Road end between Pascoe and Bakkat. And they got 5 for 71 off 18. It's what they do. They just grind teams into the ground. They
exactly.
just control that end. So KCC getting a win by 62 runs. Let's put the table up for the last time. And as you can see there, Pak, who played out already, top of the table, couldn't be beaten in the final round. But HKCC Premier getting up to 5 points, getting ahead of KCC on 4, who finished third. USRC Premier, who going into the last game were a red-hot chance to make the final, ended up finishing 4th. And yes,
but they were missing Babar on that day as well. I think if they had Babar, we might have seen a different...
They had Babar against KCC and still lost.
Yeah, but still, I think he would have made a difference in HKCC. That ground, I think Babar would have definitely made a difference.
Well, they'll have a go next year, I'm sure. And Yasko Little Saiwan rounding out the table with just the solitary win. Let's move on to some non-plod cricket, starting with Sunday Elite Division 1, the Scorpions versus USRC Elite. I think we both went with the Scorps on this one, did we?
Yes,
or did
we
I?
Did.
We did. I can't remember the tipping. If I did, it's one of very few that I got right. Look at that. And again, another 400-run score at HKCC. The Scorpions, 401 for 7. George Loop with a century, 103 off 79. The cheat code, Sahil Malvankar with an 84. And Kinchit Shah with a 65. Tough work out there for the bowlers.
Yes, it was. And Mohammad Okasha Umarzai picked up 2 for 48 in his 8 overs. Fahad Hayat went for a lot of runs in his 8, which was 83. But he also picked up 2 wickets. And Shehryar Saeed, I think he was playing his first game of the season, picked up a wicket for 30 runs.
Yeah, so they went at 8s there, it looks like, if you know maths is right. So Akasha's 2 for 48 at 6s was a pretty decent effort for him. And USRC Elite trying to chase it down, barely got halfway there. Akbar Khan going solo at 164 runs out of 232. I'm not going to be able to do the sums quickly, but it's about 2/3 of the score himself.
It is.
And didn't get much help from anyone else. But the bowling.
One man stood up, picked up a 7 for. He was Ayush Shukla. Ayush Shukla in his 10 overs picked up 7 wickets for 33 runs.
Crazy.
Spell of bowling.
Guys. Crazy.
HKCC did put that spell on their Instagram page. So if anybody wants to see, can see that. Because I saw it there and it was actually very good bowling.
Oh, great bowling. Well done, Ayush. 169 run win. That's a thumping. KCC Templars up against the India Club Brahmas. I know I got this one wrong. And I got it wrong very, very badly. I tipped against my own KCC and I got embarrassed. I think they did this out of spite, to be honest. The Templars, 303. Again, a KCC team not batting their full 50, but not needing to. 303 for 10 with two balls remaining. Head coach Waqas Barkhad with an 85 off 52. Again, coming in late, saving what was a good start with Jamie Atkinson getting an 81 off 91. And who's that one? Getting a 58. Is that Mokhan?
Mokhan, yes. Just.
No, it couldn't be. It's Hasan Khan.
Hasan Khan, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say because Mokhan has switched across to the Brahmas and played in this game. 58. Handy. That's right. I remember that now because he was good with bat and ball. The bowling.
So the bowling card can only show me three names and all three coaches of India Club.
Yep.
Imran Arif. He picked up 4 wickets for 67 runs. Ankur Vishesh, 2 for 29 in his 10, very economical. And Niaz Ali, 2 for 74 in his quota of 10.
Oh, so
they shared 8 wickets, the coaches.
Yeah, so there's 3 coaches there, and the top scorer is also a coach. So good to see they're leading from the front, but they didn't really lead with the bat. The Brahmas, Ankur again, top scoring, but just 39 off 23. He went out there and he wanted to pump it. He was going hard. He was going sixes style, not even T20 to open up. 39 off 23, but then once he fell, started to fall away. Aji Chacko with a 28 and Gurbaj Singh with a 22.
So Azaz Khan, yet again, was not in there with the bat, but showed his all-round skills with the ball. 4 for 32 in his 10 overs. Pick up the bowler. I think again, 3 for 36 in 7 overs, and Ruthwik picking up 2 for 2 in his 1.1.
Yeah, another youngster coming across to play for the Templars this season. Ruthwik Nellore with a 2 for 2. Let's move to the Wanderers versus Tony Turners. This was a much closer game. I like this one. Wanderers batting first, 262 for 8. Again, the Cat in the centuries, 113 off 130. Maran with a 51 and Matt Rosley with a 32. Getting 262, yeah.
Yes, and Tanveer Ahmed and Asad Rashid, along with Mohammed, picked up the 5 wickets that Saiwan was able to pick up.
Going out to bat, the youngster, Preet Mangukya, with a top score of 70. Good to see the youngster in the runs. And again, Heda Ali chipping in with a 46, Ibrahim with a 42. But there just wasn't any support from the other 7, and they were bowled out in 48 for 238.
And again, the pick of the bowler was Adil Mahmood, 4 for in his last game, 5 for in this game, 5 for 44 that was. Veer Mathur, the youngster, chipped in with 3 wickets for 50, and another youngster, Danny Mapp, in his 10 overs, picked up a wicket for 50 runs as well, preparing well for their under-19 tours very soon.
That's coming up, yeah. When are they heading off? Very shortly.
Very shortly.
Let's move to Sunday Elite Division 2. And the Asquith Little Saiwan Knights up against the Dragons. I tip the Dragons, you tip the Knights. The Knights, well, they went big. I think this is PKVR Park by memory. Knights, 370. Bowled out for 370 with a ball to spare. Yeah. Solomon Butt with a 148. Edisham with a 49. Umar with a 41. Some wickets to be shared, though, for the Dragons.
So Jacob Lim, haven't really played this year, but he came back. And I think it's his first or second game this year. He picked up 3 wickets in his 10 over. Demin Yee, 2 for 9, and Oscar, 2 for 35.
Oscar Wong, he debuted in that game. I think he's 14.
Yeah, he is.
No older than, and Jacob's only about 17 as well. Yeah. They had the youngsters playing, and that showed when it came to the batting with the Dragons. Bowled out for 47 in 18.1. Johnny Top scoring with a 21. Obviously, Jason didn't get in the runs at all, out cheaply. Jacob Lim chipping in with a 6. Henry Sue with a 4.
Haris Mohammed, bowling with the new ball, picked up 3 early wickets, 3 for 24, 2 for him. Hussein picked up 2 for 3, and Atif Fayaz picked up 2 for 18 wickets for Saiwan to wrap them up for 47 for 10.
Just a cheeky 323-run victory there for the Knights. Also in Sunday Elite Div 2, the SLCC Serendip Lions up against the Knights again. And the Knights are looking good because the Lions bowled out in 36.5 for 129. Kashif with the top score of 33. Hassan with the 16. And Abdul also with only 16. The bowling.
Saki Mahmood, the left-arm spinner, playing this year again, picked up 3 for 24. Waqas Ali, another new recruit for Knights, he picked up 2 for 9. And V. Bhavishi, the youngster, picked up 2 for 12 runs.
Didn't have much to chase down, and they did it easy in 27. Mohammed getting a half century, 51. Hiran Patel with a 42, and Umair with a 13. And only the 2 wickets falling, so not really much to talk about in the bowling card there, with the Knights winning by 8 wickets. Let's move to Saturday Championship Div 1 and the game where I forgot who had transferred where, and he let me know all about it. You know how I put a nice little ticker on the bottom to explain that I thought I was joking? He listened to the podcast on Spotify, so he never saw that. So all he thought was, heard what he heard.
Okay.
Yeah, he gave me a very big hard time, and you know why in a second. We put the card up and have a look. The Nomads now with, obviously, Tom Ingram, 253 for 6. Matt Rosley with a 130, huge. George Loop in the runs again, 53. And Daniel getting a 21. Bowling?
Bowling, yes. I was umpiring this game, so...
I saw that.
Yes, so I saw it all first
time. So obviously, I mean, I don't want to accuse umpires of cheating, but you had tipped the Nomads and I tipped Jinsung. So surely there were some dodgy decisions.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. He's a fine umpire. That was just a joke, okay? Okay, go on. Tell me about the bowling.
Beilan was pick of the bowler, and he was not bowling from my end. So he picked up 2 for 35.
Mm.
Anton, also 2 for 55. And Mohammad Aftab, the Pakistan Association left-arm spinner, as is playing Saturday League for Jinsan as well. So picked up a wicket for 19. He was very good.
Jinsung trying to chase it down, batted their full 35, but just couldn't get the runs on the board quick enough. Craig Johnstone with a 61. Belan chipping in with a bat as well with a 24. Niraj with a 19, but falling a little bit short there, the bowling.
So Daniel Craig bowled 7 overs for 2 for 26. And Keshav Mathur picked up a wicket for 12 runs in his 4 overs, but it was Thomas Ingram.
I was really hoping that he did nothing in this game. I saw on the card he did nothing with the bat.
Well, he was bowling bullets. He was quick.
He was bowling well.
And he picked up 2 early wickets, went for 42 runs, but he was very good. And
putting the early wickets on, put the pressure on, and in the end, the Nomads win by 77. Saturday Championship Div 1, Tuskers versus the Lions, the USRC derby of sorts with the new Tuskers up against the old school Lions. We both went with the Lions because the Tuskers haven't quite performed today so far this season.
Yep.
And it happened again. We're all out for 106 in 30.1. Tuxilla top scoring with a 36. Matthew with a 17 and a dire 15, only putting 106 on the board. The bowling for the Lions.
Azish Siddiqui, the left-arm spinner, was pick of the bowler for 3 for 16. Ali Ahmed came back after an injury. He hasn't played much this year because of his injury to an elbow. But he picked up 3 wickets as well. And Mohammad Zishan Iftikhar in the wickets again, 2 for 7.
Then chasing it down, Iftikhar Ahmed, I guess 62 or 52. And Mohammad Zishan with a 36. Only lost the 1 wicket. And they chased it down in 18. Atif, the bowling, there's only 1 wicket to say. And if you look on the card on screen, what does that? What? Who? Somebody, please send us a DM on the 8 for 52 podcast to IG and tell us who MFYH is. And can somebody...
Because he was good.
Yeah, he was great. 1 for 8 or 4.
Exactly.
Defending 106. Legend. We need to get that fixed in crick clubs, okay?
Yeah,
don't send us MHF. What is it? MFYH. Okay, well done, the abbreviation. Also in Saturday Championship Div 1, the Diasco Little Saiwan Sky Warriors up against the Hong Kong Cricket Club Witherers. And the Sky Warriors putting on 166 for 8. I'm not sure where this game was played. I'm not thinking.
I think it was
at HKCC.
No, it wasn't. I think it was here. At
And 166 for 8. Not a big score, but not a bad score if it was Mission Road. Again, the youngster Preet Mangookhi, a top scoring with a half century, 51 off 53. Manpreet Singh chipping in with a 40. And Shehan Aldri, the youngster, the left-arm spinner, getting a 17 with the bat, the bowling for the Witherers.
lots of left-arm spinners getting a lot of wickets here because Thinley Kenchup was pick of the bowler again for 3 for 36.
Ah, yes. We love our left-arm spinners. Well, I do at least. Well done, Thinley. That's because he's just moved to the Witherers.
Yeah, exactly.
Former Dragon.
Sat Pereira, the two youngsters picking up a wicket each for Witherers, so restricting them to 167, which wasn't that big a
beat. 167, you'd think the Witherers could chase down.
Exactly.
And you can see, cannot. All out for 94 in 20.2. Siegfried Y, the top scorer, with 27. Mahatej with a 21, and Viamata chipping in with a 10 as well, but bowled out for 94. The bowling was much better, though, for the Asqua Little Siwon Squarry Warriors.
Yes, and that's that man again, Harish Mohammed. He is really knocking the doors of national selection. I think he's been bowling really well this year, and he's a right-arm bowler, left-hand bat, and he's scoring runs as well in Sunday cricket. He was the pick of the bowler with Pfeiffer. And Pransh Vimal Kalatia, the youngster, also ably supported him with the new ball, picked up two wickets. And Preet Mangukia again in the bowling card as well for 2 for 22.
Yeah, tough to pick out who would be the player of the match on that one. Yeah. Preet with a half century and a 2 for and a half and a 5 for for Harris. They did it and won by 72 runs. The Sky Warriors Saturday Championship Div 2 HKUCC versus Diaspora Little Siwon Strikers. I think I went with HKU on this one. All out for 106.
I think I did go against Strikers as well, if I remember correctly.
We need to make a note. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Yeah. Tiran getting a 20-17 for Abhimanyu and Ashutosh with a 13, but just the 106 on the board, the bowling card for the Strikers.
Yes, the all-rounder Amit Kumar picking up 4 wickets for 12 runs in his 6 overs. Malwar Mohammed picked up a wicket in his 4 overs, giving away 8 runs. And the leg spinner, Sandeep Hathiramani, in the wickets again, 1 for 13 for him.
In reply, the Strikers chased it down, but they lost a lot of wickets doing it. 107 for 7, so the pitch must have been giving up. 17 wickets in 53 overs. Amit Kumar top scoring with a 27, Manoj with a 19, and Samarakun with a 17. And the bowling. Let's go with another left armer.
Yes, another left armer, but this time he's not a spinner. Jaya Ramesh. I picked up 3 wickets for 27 runs in his 7 overs. Tiran was good again, but for the first time on the scorecard, I'm looking at it, and he was very expensive. I've never seen him go for that many runs in 3 overs.
He went
for 9s, which is, I don't know how did that happen, but he picked up 2 wickets, and Wansh picked up a wicket as well.
Diaspora Little Siwon Strikers getting the 3-wicket victory there. Saturday Championship Div 2, India Club All-Stars versus Diaspora Little Siwon Thunder. The All-Stars again being All-Stars, scoring 325, bowled out on the final delivery, it would appear. All out in 35. Akash Yadav, 95, just missing out on his full century.
Full century.
I'll have to give him a hard time about that. Imran Arif with a 72 and Maran Khan with a 61, getting that score up to 325.
Tridib Mukherjee was pick of the bowler again, 3 for 34. Sodhi picking up 2 wickets and Chaitanya picking up 2 wickets. Identical figures for both of them as they both went for 56 runs.
In reply, the Thunder just couldn't get their all out in 23.1 for 130. Vivek Arya top scoring with a 34. Shamshir Shah getting a 15 and Muhammad with just 13. The top scorers, the bowling.
Aryan Muhammad picked up 2 for 15, Mohammed picked up 2 for 17, and Niket Singh picked up 2 for 38 for India Club to wrap the game up.
Well, that's a nice way to share the wickets around. Not one person getting a 5 for anything, just a couple, 3 twofers.
Yep.
India Club All-Stars winning by 195, staying with Saturday Championship Div 2. Laguna Gully up against the Centaurs. I know I went with the Centaurs on this one because I thought this was going to be the game that they were going to get their first win of the season. Laguna Gully batting first, bowled out again right on the last ball, 130 for 10. Aaron with a 41, Sateshwar with a 15, and Ramakrishna with a 12. So 130, it's chaseable. How was the bowling?
Ali Wakas picked up 2 for 18 in his seven overs. Parveen Kumar 2 for 20, and Nicholas 2 for 34. Were the pick of the bowlers again, sharing the wickets around.
131 to win, Centaurs. Are you going to do it for me? No. Bowled out for 125 with an over and a ball remaining. Ikram top scoring with a 46. Anwar with the 22 and Ali Wakas with the 20. That all adds up to plenty of runs, but falling short, the bowling.
Shubham Mehta picking up 4 wickets for Laguna Gully. Murali still doing it. 3 for 14 in his 7 overs, which was exceptional on his part. And Ramakrishna picking up a wicket to wrap things up. And Laguna Gully winning by 5 runs.
Sad. That's another tip lost for me. KCC Saracens up against the IRC Charlie Bears. This one, I believe, was at KCC. And good score from the Saracens. 194 for 9. I mean, it's something I've talked about with the team, especially Malhart, that getting runs on the board has always been the issue for the Saracens. And they did well. 194 for 9. Harry Thomas with a 59, 86 deliveries. Javier with a 46. And the captain himself, Malhar Vora, with a 21.
Mohammad Yasin, the left-armer again, picking up 3 for 34. Ayub Khan, another left-arm spinner, picking up 3 for 48. And Shehbaz Ali Mirza picking up 2 for 36. All the left-handers are, left-arm bowlers are doing something this year.
Seems to be the pick. IRC Charlie Bears. They chased this down pretty easy, to be honest, in 28.2, only losing the 4 wickets. And it was, of course, Gulfran.
Gulfran, yes.
When he gets in a mood, and they put him down apparently a number of times in the outfield, which is a Saracens trait. If you let Gulfran go, he's going to go you. And he did. 116 off 65. Saiful with the 23. AJ Kamath with a 19 off 24. The bowling?
Hamid Javed picking up 2 wickets. Andy picking up a wicket. And Nadeem Khan, the off-spinner, picking up a wicket. But they couldn't restrict Charlie Bears enough.
Six wicket win for the Charlie Bears, staying in SAT Championship Div 2. Punjab Lions up against HKU this time. Punjab Lions putting on 192 for 6. Top score for Akhil with a 60. Gurbaj Singh with a 59. And Hari Shankar Venkatesh with a 15.
Yes, so Yakzan Rajan was the pickup bowler. 2 for 22. Anuj Bhatia picking up a wicket. And Zainul Abidin picking up a wicket. And
tried to chase it down. HKU batted out their full 35, but the runs just wouldn't flow. Yakzan Rajan with a 27. Tiran Ranasinghe with a 18 and Chamila with 16.
The youngster Hari Shankar Venkatesh, who is up for his under-19 duties very soon.
What arm does he bowl with?
Left arm.
There we go.
He picked up 3 for 29 in his 7 overs. Santokh picked up 2 for 26. And Hamad Hussain, another left arm spinner, picked up a wicket.
SEC Lancers up against the Hung Si of Craigengaur Cricket Club. The Lancers batting first, 152 for 10. I think I tipped the Lancers in this one. 152 is okay, but bowled out, leaving 5 overs basically on the table. Yeah. Saurav with a 24, Rupesh 20, and Sumit with an 18.
Yes, and our very own Vance Chan was pick up the bowler. 3 for 30 for him. Kelvin Choi picking up 2 wickets and Anthony picking up a wicket.
Kelvin did it with the bat as well. 20, top score off 27. Anthony with a 19 and Damon with a 17. But they batted their full 35 but couldn't get there in the end.
Asad Ashfaq was the pick up the bowler for 3 for 36. Muhammad 2 for 19 and Rupesh 1 for 13. So our broadcast members doing well in this one then.
Certainly did, and Lancers winning by 17 runs. Let's move on to the Women's T20 League, shall we? Starting with Div 1. We both went with the Wasps in this one, and breaking, of course, the 8 for 52 podcast rule, never tip against the Willow Wielders, who scored 149 for 2. Natasha Miles, the Hong Kong China captain, 79 off 53. Alison Hsu, usually noted for the ball, but did it with the bats, 32 for 48, and Emma Lyon with an 11.
Yes, and surprisingly, when I look at their scorecard in the bowling department, I don't see their bowlers picking up the wickets, which is why probably Willow Wielders were as good as they were, because they counted them well, because the pick of the bowlers were Jaswinder Kaur and Shanzeen Shahzad, both not really known for their bowling.
Yeah.
Picking up a wicket each.
Ikra not getting on the wickets, and I assume Mariam didn't either. The batting for the Wasps, needing 150 for victory. They could only manage 121 for 7. Mariam Bibby was the top scorer with 37. This was the first game Yasmin Dazwani debuted for the Ascot Little Sewan Wasps and did not appear on the scorecard very much. Ikra Sahar with a 29, Shanzeen Shahzad 16.
Ashley Hung picking up 2 wickets for 24. Jasmine Titmus picking up a wicket, as well as the youngster Kimaya picking up one wicket.
28 run victory there for the Willow Wielders. Never tip against the Willow Wielders. Mm. SEC Divas up against the Lantau Ladies, and the Divas batting first, 115 all out with five balls to spare. Sheena with a 21, Catherine 21 as well, and Marites with a 15.
I think both of us went with Divas on this one.
I think so. I think we copped a lot of stick about picking the Divas and not shipping Lantau.
But for Lantau were not informed, but they certainly did come back informed with this
one. Maybe it was us not tipping them, gave them the little jolt they needed.
Certainly.
We're going to claim it.
Yes.
Well done, Lantau.
Yeah.
We take credit.
Mahakdeep Kaur was the pick of the bowler, picking up 3 wickets for 11 runs. Gurkamal Kaur and Tiwari picking it up a wicket each.
81-16 for victory. They did it in 14 and a half. Joylene Dhaliwal with a half century, 52. Nicely played. Mahakdeep Kaur with a 15. And Charlene getting a 6.
Romello picking up a wicket. 1 for 15. Sheena May Kabang, 1 for 22. And Julie and Dormat, 1 for 25 for Divas were not enough.
7-wicket victory for the Lantau Ladies. Another one we tipped the Wasps, and it was against the Sunrisers, the team I usually like to tip, and this one went a bit better for us. Sunrisers, good, that's a low score, but didn't lose wickets. Yeah. 105 for 3. Paul Toe, top scoring with a 40. Carrie Chan with a high quarter century, 25. Dorothea Chan with an 11.
Jaswinder Kaur, yet again in the bowling column, 1 for 16. Mariam Bibi, 1 for 18, and Shenzin Shahzad picking up 1 wicket as well.
So the one thing to note so far about the Wasps, who we're all on board with, they're struggling to get wickets. So they managed to restrict them. So they obviously bowled very tidily. But wickets might be something they need to be working on. Yep. In reply, and their new recruit, Yasmin Dazwani, appeared on the scoreboard this time because she top-scored with a 39 off just 15 deliveries. Shanzeen Shahzad, 33, and also a 33 for Mariam Bibi.
They chased it in 14 overs, so there was not much to talk about bowling. Only Kerry Chan picking up a wicket in his 4 allotted overs. Other than that, there was nothing notable to mention.
9-wicket victory for the Wasps. In Div 2, I see Velocity up against Fung Wong. You went Velocity, I went Fung Wong. Velocity bowled out for 100 in 17.3. When I saw that scorecard, I thought, all right, I've got this tip. Akshi, top scoring with a 32. Carmen with a 14 and Hadisa with 10.
Megan picking up a 5-er in her 3.3 overs. For CCC Fung Wong, I haven't really seen this name on the. Maybe he's a new recruit or somebody we have not really seen a lot. But she picked up 5 wickets for 21 runs. Ella Wing picking up 2 wickets, and Tammy Teen picking up 1 wicket for 14 runs.
In reply, Fung Wong batted it out, but didn't get there in the end. 83 for 8. Arden Ng top scoring with 16. Which is odd because she usually bats down the order. So it means the top order has failed here for Fung Wong. Amy Lai with 15. And again, Megan getting a 5 and a 13, getting on the top scorers for Fung Wong, the bowlers.
Akshi picking up 2 wickets. Christine Joy picking up 2 wickets. And Vansi as well picking up 2 wickets. So wickets shared all around.
Well, it was tight. And the Velocity did get the win in the end by 17 runs. SEC Pinay versus the HKCC Diamonds. Pinay batting first. Big score. 184 for 2 in 20. Alma with a 28. I see not big runs off the bat, so the bowling might have been a little erratic from the Diamonds. Melinda with a 14 and Janilin with a 12.
Yes, so Hazel Wong picking up a wicket in her 4 allotted overs, and Anupama picking up a wicket as well.
Diamonds in reply, good quarter century from Bowie Chan with a 26 off 43. Annette with 18 and Alvina with 3. But that 115 on the board wasn't going to be enough. And the bowling?
Margie picked up 2 wickets for 14 runs. Julie and Dormat picking up 2 wickets for 15 runs. And Melinda Rodriguez also on the scorecard with a wicket.
69 run win there for the Pinay. So that's the 22 games that were played in
a lot of them.
A lot of games. I'm going to put up that dancing graphic now with our tips for this week.
Yeah.
There were 22 games. I got half of them right, which means I'm going glass half full. I got half right. I'm not going to say I got half wrong. I got half right. You, on the other hand, got 15, so only drop 7 games and take a bigger lead. I'm not sure what the score is. We'll put the score up now. And
we will.
I know that you're well ahead. Well, I'll have to do better in the upcoming matches later on. But right now, it's time to head over into the dugout. And our special guest this week, it's Marika.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
O'Hill. We're in the dugout with the who's who of cricket in Hong Kong. Yes, we're in the dugout for episode 5, and joining us is Cricket Hong Kong China great Marika Hill. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, in the dugout, we like to talk all, of course, we'll talk about your cricketing career, but we like to start at the beginning. And born November 20, 1995, right here in Hong Kong. What was it like growing up here in Hong Kong?
Yeah, it was obviously really incredible to be brought up in a multicultural city. I've been very fortunate with my upbringing, but the whole experience from primary all the way to university, in fact, I was brought up in Hong Kong.
You went to school here, obviously. Was it international school or local school?
Yeah, international school. So both primary and secondary, Bradbury and Island School. And then obviously Hong Kong U is a multinational university.
So you went to Bradbury. Was there any cricket program there? Did you get into cricket at Bradbury?
Not when I first started, but it was more during secondary school in 2012 when they started having more of a grassroots program. So I actually coached Bradbury School when I was in secondary school, but not during primary school.
So how did you get into cricket?
So 2007, my brother was a member, or my family were a member of the Hong Kong Cricket Club, and he was playing in the Junior Gappers program every Saturday. And I loved to always be amongst my brother, play every sport possible. Was definitely a tomboy back then. So my dad just said, why don't you just start with your brother? And from there, I kind of never looked back.
Well, you talked about your parents being members at HKCC and your brother playing Gappers. Are they cricket fans? Was that why they joined that club, or was it just more for the sporting and the socialising?
Definitely the socialising. I'd probably give my dad kudos for that. But my dad being English, there's always been that cricket heritage in the background. But I think everything just laid out according to plan.
So you started Gappers at 11.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about your women's T20I career coming up later on, because that's where the official figures start for. If you go search Marika Hill on ESPN Cricket Info. Debuted in 2019, but you didn't debut internationally for Cricket Hong Kong China in 2019. When was it?
It was in 2012, actually. So a year after studying cricket and holding a cricket bat, got selected in my first ever tournament was in Bangladesh.
How old
were you? Oh, no, it was 2007. I was 12 years old, which is crazy to say.
You were 12. You said you started Gappers at 11.
Yeah.
And you were in Bangladesh by 12.
Yeah.
That's obviously somebody saw some prodigious talent very early on.
I think there was a lot of headhunting back in the day where Anita Miles, who I really looked up to, kind of just saw me in the Gappers program, selected me and just said, why don't you come and play amongst the women? And I didn't know there was a women's setup as well, but my dad drove me to every training. And then just from that, selections happened. And I think any excuse to leave the country without my parents and amongst really good friends.
At the age of 12, yeah.
Yeah, good.
So what? Did you play on that tour, or you just tell us about it?
Yeah.
A 12-year-old playing in Bangladesh.
I tell you what, it's probably one of the most incredible experiences, because Bangladesh is just so culturally rich in cricket. So they all knew that the Hong Kong women's cricket team were coming. And I think out of every country, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, they live and breathe cricket. So the moment we arrived at the hotel, already there were police around the van. All of us were probably 12 to 18 years old with a few seniors. And that was an entry into what fame looked like. And we're like, what is this? And the moment you arrive, it was like a sea of people outside the bus trying to ask for signatures. And I was like, This is crazy, like, actually crazy. And when we opened the curtains, there were people across the building bowling at us and pretending to shadow bat. And that's when I think me and my Jesse, who was my roommate, were just like, this is awesome.
And so it went on from there. You continued to play, went through high school. You said at that same time you were coaching at Radbury as well. We'll move on to the WT20. And you started, the debut listed is 2019. Since then, you've played 82 international matches. How has that felt for you as an international cricketer?
To be honest, I don't really count the number of games that I've been playing. It's just so long as I love the sport, and every time I go out there with all my best friends, I just enjoy it and kind of enjoy the process. So I haven't really thought about the years or the amount of games played necessarily, but kind of take every game as it's the last one, because you never know when your last game will be.
You also, at the same time, playing overseas. I believe you played in the UK and you also play Fairbreak. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so Fairbreak is a movement for creating equal opportunities, regardless of age, geographical location, financial background, etc. And ultimately, it's trying to equal the playing field of associate players and international players, because there really are a lot of talented, incredible associate players, but they just don't simply get the opportunity. So Fairbreak was this great initiative founded by Sean Martin and a lot of really good investors and people that supported the whole movement, Venkatesh being one, kind of created this global tournament. And there's been 2 years of it with others in the background too. But in terms of international global ones, there's been one in Dubai and one in Hong Kong.
Yeah, well, the one in Hong Kong, at KCC, of course. It is a fabulous melding of international players getting together. It's not something you can do much. I mean, there's more of it going on now as Women's Premier League sort of takes off in the big bash in Australia. But it was sort of the first to do this.
No, absolutely. I think when it comes to any associate players without a cap too, because all these franchise tournaments normally has a cap of international players. And of course, as an associate, it'll be really difficult to be amongst that three to be in each team. So this allows it to have this equal platform.
So you played a lot of international cricket, both like Fairbreak and overseas and international since you were 12. What's your favourite international cricketing moment?
International? I think there's two. One of them is my first ever win as a team, and that was in 2008 ACC Championship. And that was in Malaysia. So we had the likes of Connie Wong, Nisha Pratt. It was really the original Hong Kong team that I first joined, and we won that tournament. And 2 years later, we then won the Q8 tournament. And I remember Natural Yip hit a six in the final over when we were chasing, I think, 12 needed in the last over. And just the belief within the team. And when she hit that six, it was, game over for China.
Well, I want to play one of my favourite ones from a couple of years ago, I think, against Tanzania at your home ground of Hong Kong Cricket Club, where you took a fifer against Tanzania. We're going to have a quick look at all five wickets right now.
It's been so dangerous with the bat as well. Here we go, Mariko's first ball. That's in the air. Should be taken. Lemon Chung, it's tough, but she's taken it. In the air, taken. That's going to be a lot easier. Mariam Bibi, she barely celebrates. An absolute sitter. That's sixth wicket. Aisha Muhammad, she came, and now she's gone. Looks like Sophia Jerome is out there. Oh, that's a big appeal. It's close, and it's been given. She's going to be on a hat-trick in the next over, Mariko. She's taken three wickets in this over. 78 for five becomes 78 for seven.
Just remembered that Mariko Hill was on a hat trick and then gets a run out. Does that count? She was the one that threw the wickets down. It doesn't, sadly.
In a more fair world, in a more just world, maybe it would count. Nonetheless, here she is again. Oh, and she's bowled up. It's the big wicket of Monica Pascal. And guess who? Mariko Hill strikes again. Last batter Walking in at number 11, Sheila Kizito. Carrie Chan at short cover, looking for that catch. That's in the air. It'll be taken by Backward Point. Another catch diving forward. Another catch for Mariam Bibi. And Tanzania, they're 84, all out in the 19th over.
I'm putting my hand up with my fingers out because that's a fifer for Mariko Hill. 5 for 2 off 10 deliveries.
Yeah, that's crazy. You are ranked third in the world for women's T20 eyes at strike rate because you bowled 10 deliveries, got 5 wickets. Your strike rate was 2. The only better ones are the 2 above that had a 1.5 strike rate. So that's an amazing effort. You must have loved it.
To be honest, I actually had no idea during the moment, but it was only until a couple of weeks after the tournament when I was going through the tournament itself that I was like, wow, I didn't know. But on average, I think a wicket every 2 balls or something.
Yep, that's what it is.
It's quite crazy, yeah.
Amazing effort. So we're up to now, 2025. The women's team just came back from Hangzhou as well, winning the tournament up there, the Belt and Road 2025 series. Let's talk quickly a little bit about that. How was that? Because I've got another interesting stat for that one as well.
Ooh, you're with the stats, aren't I?
Numbers nerd.
It was great because it was a time when we had a couple of months break after the World Cup conundrum that happened with the Hong Kong team.
I was there.
I know, it was a bit sad, but I think to win that, it just shows where we're at. And, you know, we want to try and dominate those teams in those regions and kind of work our way up. But it was a good tournament all around for the team.
Yeah, I was watching online on Weixin or whatever it was, along with 375,000 other people watching the Hong Kong Myanmar final. This is crazy numbers.
I'm glad I didn't know that, to be honest.
it's a growing sport in China. Yet all of a sudden I'm looking down and I'm looking at the numbers and they're written in Chinese and I'm asking, is that really that number? And everyone's going, yeah, it's that number. And I think at the end it was 400,000. Crazy. So you're back here. We're going to move on to what's going forward for the Hong Kong China women's team. But first, you're also doing a bit of a side project that is tied up with Cricket Hong Kong China as well. What is Lifely?
So Lifely is a performance supplement brand made for high performers. And I've been in the supplement industry for 10 years now. So it's more the B2B, business to business space. And once I was talking to my boss and said, you know, I think there's an opportunity to be B2C, so really providing solutions to athletes and high performers. And I myself, as an athlete, used to always make all these concoctions during tournaments and matches to help me recover. And I thought, why is nobody doing this in the world? And all the formulations weren't there. So I thought to just do it myself because Hong Kong's really lacking that evidence-based supplement to support athletes.
Is that something that goes on from your degree that you did at HKU?
Yeah, so I did sports science and nutrition, so it really comes in hand along with just the application side as an athlete myself. And in terms of work, I'd probably say with the Lifely brand, I want it to be the number one performance nutrition brand in Asia. So that's going to hopefully take its time and grow the brand. But that's also in the sidelines of my full-time GenCore job as well. So again, making sure that I balance all three jobs is going to be a challenge, but right now it's going along nicely.
Random question. Who is your favorite cricketer anywhere in the world at any time? Somebody you might have played with, somebody you might have played against, somebody you used to watch as a kid growing up?
I'd say there's two. One of them being Dale Steyn, watching him as I was younger. There weren't many women to watch actually when I was younger. So just his aggression bowling, along with KP. I was quite fortunate to watch him during a test in Australia. But in terms of women, I'd say Marizan Kapp has always been inspirational. Played alongside her with the Falcons in Fairbreak. So kind of learnt the processes that she has to be the best in the game.
So what is next for both Mariko Hill and the women's team here in Hong Kong?
I think it's really having that balance in lifestyle, but still trying to perform both at work and as an athlete for Hong Kong cricket. There's a lot more tournaments coming up. With the women's calendar itself, there's almost a tournament every 2 or 3 months. So it's making sure that we prepare well, but almost staying injury free. That's something that I think as a squad, we're trying to manage a bit more and having more of an approach to the periodization towards a bigger tournament. So there's one big tournament, the Asia Cup, coming up next year. So I think that's going to be our goal and our dream, because as a unit, we're trying to qualify for the big ones.
I should mention, you are about to go off to work. You've generously given us some of your time. You've come straight from training, which is happening over to my right as well. Yeah, how do you manage to balance all of that?
So I am quite lucky that my boss is very understanding, so I can shift my work hours a bit, and I handle the European market, so the clocks do go back a bit. But so long as you tick off your trainings every day really early in the morning, or you get it done after work, it's just about sacrificing certain things. But, you know, I'm lucky that I play a team sport, so it's not like I'm in a solo sport in my own head. I can kind of have fun with them, and then when I go to work, I'm then in this flow state.
And that is something that associate cricketers, I guess, have to struggle with, not on a full contract like the big nations, the test nations and the like. So it is a work-life balance that you have to figure out for not just yourself, but everyone over there currently at, what time is it? Almost 11 a.m. still training on a Monday.
Yeah, no, for sure. And especially in Hong Kong where it's so expensive, you can't just suffice off a contract for cricket. Unfortunately, despite how good Hong Kong contracts are, in comparison to the other associate nations, but it is a very expensive city. So I think the cost of just having an apartment already takes up the majority.
One final question. Meeks, how did that nickname come about?
It actually came from high school friends, to be honest. My cricket nickname used to be Rockets, and it was from Charlie Burke back in the day. So when I was younger, I just had a strong arm, so that came about. Meeks, I actually don't even know how, doesn't make sense.
It's one of those high school
things. Yeah, it just rolled off someone's tongue and it just stuck.
Well, Mariko Meeks-Hill, thank you so much for joining us on the 8 for 52 podcast.
Thank you so much.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
More exciting cricket action coming up. Let's check out who plays who next. Okay, time to check out the upcoming matches for the next 2 weeks here in Hong Kong. Plenty to get through, Atif. Let's start Saturday.
So first up on 15 November, it'll be Lama Cricket Club playing against IC Yodhas at this very venue.
Saturday Championship Div 1. I'm going to go with the Yodhas.
I think I'm going to do the same.
Okay, two in for the Yodhas there. The Lancers versus the KCC Saracens at PKVR Park for Saturday Div 2.
So, Saracens not doing really good at home. I don't expect that to change away, so I'm going to go with Lancers on this one.
I'm just scrolling back up. Did we have a Lancers game in the one that we did in results? I want to see what happened there. They beat Hung Si, but not convincingly. I'm going to get on the Mulhar train. That 194 that they scored at KCC last time has given me hope. So, Saracens, you're going to do it for me. You need to, because I'm miles behind in the tipping at the moment. Saracens for me. Also on Saturday, November 15, this is Div 1, Pack Rising Stars versus the Nomads at HKCC.
HKCC, and Nomads have been doing really well this year. I don't think I'm tipping against them, even if it's Pakistan Rising Stars. So I'm going with Nomads on this one.
See, I've got to get over this head-heart thing, because in my heart, I want to do Pack Rising Stars. But the Nomads were very good. Pack Rising Stars. Forget it. I'm going with my heart. Come on, Pack Rising Stars. You're either brilliant or awful. Just try to be brilliant for 1 week for me. Could you please? Same day, USRC Lions up against KCC Tatas at KCC. This one will be broadcast.
Yes. So I'm not jumping off the Tatas train, so I'm going with Tatas again.
Yeah, they only really got rolled by the Crusaders, so yeah. I will go with the Tatas at home as well. Lots of Saturday games coming up this weekend. Diasco Little Siwon Strikers versus Kaitak at GDB in Div 2.
This is when Kaitak plays, it's always difficult because you don't know which of the pilots is going to turn up. So You know, it's very difficult to pick Kitek in these circumstances. So I'm willing to take a bet and go against them and pick up strikers.
I quite like the strikers, what I've seen on the scoreboard so far. I'll go the strikers as well. HKU versus the Centaurs at Campton.
HKU didn't do well for us last weekend, the last tipping, and Centaurs did pick up their first win, didn't they? They did?
They lost to Laguna Gully.
Oh, did they?
I'm still waiting.
I don't know. I'm gonna go HKU on this one then.
I'm going HKU as well. If I stop tipping the Centaurs, they might actually win. Also, let's see. Last game on Saturday, and this one is Div 1. It's the HKCC Witherers in the Derby up the top of Derby. Derby for West Australians, but Derby. Gap Ramblers. I never know which ones, who's playing for which of the two teams. I mean, if it was HKCC something versus somebody else, I'd go HKCC. Can I just tip HKCC?
HKCC,
Gap Ramblers.
Mm.
Wait. Gap Ramblers went up from Div 2, didn't they? Witherers. I don't know. I'm going Witherers.
I'm going Witherers too.
Okay.
I was happy you picked Gap Ramblers.
I'm so stuck in season 2 mode where you just tip Gap Ramblers every week because they thrashed everyone to win the Div 2 and go up. Yeah. So I can't get that out of my head. Even though we're, how many, episode 5 plus episode? Yep. Anyway, let's move on to Sunday, November 16. And in Sunday Elite Division 1, it's the USRC Elite up against the Diasqua Little Saiwan Tony Turners with everybody on tour.
Everybody on tour. And this is going to be, I don't know, but
they're only missing one apiece, Baba and Esan?
I think so.
So it's pretty even. They lose a big hitter, they lose their stroke bowler.
Yeah, so it's basically Heather versus Akbar.
And Farhad.
Farhad and Sherry and, you know.
It's a decent bowling lineup at USRC.
Yeah.
And the youngsters, but Preet will be playing, he's in the runs.
Ali Hassan will be playing the other side as well. I don't know.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go Tony Jones on this one. Despite Akbar's form, I think I'm going to go Tony Jones on this one.
Akbar has been in form, especially here at Mission Road. I will go the USRC Elite, just for a point of difference, of which there will be many, I promise. Also, in Sunday Elite Div 2, it's the Dragons up against the HKCC Opties up the hill at HKCC.
Yes, and I'm not going past HKCC Opties on this one.
Well, I was on the Dragons train. And then they were bowled out for 47. So I'm off the Dragons train. And I also will stick with my, if it's a HKCC in the name, up at the hill, I'll stick with them. Go Opties. Final game on Sunday, Div 2. It's the Vagabonds versus... No, it's not. There's plenty more Sunday games to come up. I'm lying. Vagabonds versus the Knights at GDB in Div 2.
I'm picking Knights. They've been in great form. They've played 2 games, won very convincingly. I think I'm not going to go against them on this one.
That's a tough one, I think, because the Vagabonds going down, but...
They are.
They're looking good since they've gone into Div 2. They want to get back into Div 1. But I'm with you. I'm going to stick with the Knights on that one. I'm going to stick with the men's cricket first before we go into the women's cricket. And the KCC Infidels up against the Serendip Lions at KCC. I just want to put that one in because I will be commentating that one, my final game, before I fly out. So... It is the Infidels versus the Lions. What do you think in Div 2? No Mokhan.
No, Mokhan not there anyway, so...
I know, what I'm just saying, I'm talking about last year's Infidels, which were very good, very tough. Just unlucky every year not to go up into Div 1.
Lots of youngsters playing for Infidels. Same for Serendip Lions as well. I mean, they are playing a lot of youngsters as well. But I think... let's go with Infidels.
I'm going with the Infidels.
Yeah, just let's go with Infidels.
I tipped against KCC and what happened? Got thrashed. So I'm not doing that again.
You lucky you didn't get thrashed.
Yeah, lucky I didn't lose my membership. Moving on to the next weekend, starting Saturday. Oh, no, we'll do the women's. which I skipped. Yeah, let's go back. I apologise, Women's T20 Division 1, 2 and 3, because you have three games on Sunday, November 16, starting with Div 1, Lantau Ladies versus the Diaskwa Little Saiwan Wasps.
Well, this one I'm going with Wasps.
I'm going for Wasp 2, and the Lantau Ladies will likely prove us wrong once again because they are very good, but we think the Wasps will win that. In Div 2, Link Fireflies versus Fung Wong. Don't have to ask you, but just thinking about it, is it a tough decision for you to go with your Link Fireflies? I think it is too.
It is, because Fung Wong is a very decent side.
I thought they were going to get IC Velocity, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Link Fireflies beat Velocity, right?
Yes.
They're the only team that have. So it's going to be a tough game again for Fung Wong. Whoa. Yeah, I don't really know. Fung Wong.
Okay. Let's move on.
Okay. Phew. Div 3, it's Lama Roses versus USRC Eagles.
We have not really picked Lama Roses much this season.
No.
And we've been proven wrong, so definitely, I'm going with Lama Roses on this one.
Well, the Eagles sometimes struggle to get 8 or 9 to play. And the Lama Roses are going to have fun. I think the Lama Roses to win there. Now let's move on to the second weekend coming up. Saturday, November 2nd. This game is Saturday Championship Div 1. Diaskwa Little Saiwan Sky Warriors against the United Services Recreation Club Tuskers.
And Sky Warriors are winning this one.
Sky Warriors are winning that one. We'll move on. Other games, Lama Cricket Club up against the HKCC Gap Ramblers up at the hill. This is good.
This is very good.
I now know Gap Ramblers are going up a div. Lama always punch above their weight. Haven't much this season from memory. I'm going to go Lama on this one.
Oh, I was going to go Lama on this one as well.
You're allowed to. We can pick the same.
Yeah. So, yeah, Lama. Okay.
Lama. KCC Crusaders against Jing Sang at KCC. It will be broadcast, I'm sure.
I'm not picking against Crusaders. So Crusaders
absolutely
on this one.
Absolutely not picking against Crusaders. Ashley Caddy is in some fine form with the left arm. So Crusaders to win that one. Diaskwa Little Saiwan Thunder against the Saracens at GDB.
Ooh. What did Thunder do in the previous
game?
That's
exactly what I'm doing. You keep talking while I scroll and try to find out what the Thunder... I don't even think the Thunder played in the last 2 weeks, did they? I mean... Yes, they did. And they got absolutely thumped by the India Club All-Stars.
Okay, based on that...
I should not have told you anything.
I think for once, let's back Malhar.
I've already backed him once in this.
For me.
For once for you, yeah.
Once for me.
Okay, fair.
You've done once, I'll do it once too.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I've picked them once. They can have the double and get 2 wins on the board for the Saracens. That'd be nice. IC All-Stars up against Hung Si at Cam Tin.
Are we going to get into a discussion on this one or...?
I feel sad, but the Hung Si are going to get massacred. Yeah. All-Stars to win that one. Into the Sunday games, USRC Elite versus the India Club Brahmas here at Mission Road.
And it's on 23rd November. Are they back?
I think the final's the 23rd. If they make the final, they won't be. If they make the semi-finals, it'll be touch and go because that's the 19th.
Ooh, that makes it difficult for us, isn't it? But still, I think let's go India Club Brahmas for me.
India Club Brahmas aren't missing anyone.
They're not.
So it's all whether Bunder's back.
Here.
Yeah.
So how about is he playing?
I don't know. We'll find out on the 23rd. I'm going to the Brahmas. Wanderers versus Pack Elite at HKCC in Sunday Div 1 as well.
This is going to be a good game. Very good game.
This is dependent on whether the team is back. I mean, this is impossible to tip. We have no idea who is going to be in town. So the semi-final's the 21st, I should say. The last round-robin game is the 19th. The final's the 23rd, which is the day this is playing. So if they get out of the round-robin, I can't see the players being back.
Yeah.
If they play a semi-final, then they won't be back. That's my call.
Yeah.
And even if they did, they'd be that exhausted that they probably wouldn't play anyway. So taking that into account, I still don't know what to do.
I'm betting.
You can go. Feel free. Have a tip. Okay, I'm going to go with Wanderers.
I'm going to go PACC on this one.
The reason I'm going Wanderers is that there is so many kids up that hill that they can just fill the team of anybody that's not playing. If she's not playing, or Kat, or I'm not sure which one of the two teams, of course, Kat is in. I think he's in Wanderers. But they can fill. They have players to fill the Wanderers, whereas Pac, with that so many players overseas, will be scraping
the
barrel.
But I think my only reason for backing Pac in this one is Hafiz Khan. I think he performed really well in his previous
outing. I think he's amazing.
FKCC.
But if you can get him cheap, game over, man.
Yeah, so
game
my over. Money's on him then.
All right. So I'm going HKCC Wanderers and Atif has tipped Hafiz Khan. Moving on to some women's games. CCC Sunrisers against the Willow Wielders.
Willow Wielders for me.
Yep. Not doing it a fourth time. Willow Wielders to win. Serendip Lionesses against the Link Fireflies in Div 2.
Fireflies for me.
Fireflies for me as well. And final women's game for Sunday, November 23rd, the SEC Divas versus Diasqua Little Saiwan Wasps.
I think easy one for me, Wasps this one.
For me as well. And one last game, back to Sunday Elite Men's Div 1, Diasqua Little Saiwan, Tony Turners versus the KCC Templars at KCC with no idea who's in town. Of course, only SI missing for the Tony Turners.
Yes, and Templars aren't missing anyone other than Atiq.
Azaz.
Azaz, yes.
Like the man that's won every single game for KCC this season.
That will be dependent on, again, if he's back. But I'm going to go Templars again.
I'm going Templars because they're strong, even without those two. I've seen it
with
perform.
Dan, Wack, I think that one end that they just...
Tommy Heising has been in the runs all season. So. I mean, it's still
backing
got...
Again, going against Jamie Chatter Adams is and... not like an easy thing. But
No.
And again, I think Templars as a team still look stronger without Rezaz and Atiq.
Just counting up the games. I've lost count already. Lots of games coming up here in Hong Kong. If you can get around to the grounds and watch live, please do drop on down. Or, of course, the games that will be broadcast on HKCC YouTube and KCC YouTube on Saturdays and Sundays. Make sure you can tune in. They're the upcoming games.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Who's having a birthday in Hong Kong cricket circles? Find out in the birthday bonanza with Jazz.
Happy birthday, happy
Not many birthdays to go through this week, but on the 17th of November, we got Aftab Hussain, who's having his birthday. And then on the 20th of November, we got Mariko Hill, who we just had in the dugout just now. And lastly, on the 25th of November, a very special birthday that's coming up, which is Bushy's birthday. Happy birthday.
It's time for the Crick Buzz Quiz, where you put your cricket knowledge to the ultimate test.
Welcome back to today's Crick Buzz Quiz. Before we begin with the questions, let's have a look at the answers of last episode. For question one, it was the Sri Lankan team that won the 2024 Hong Kong Sixes. And for question two, it was Team Pakistan. Congratulations to our lucky winners that got themselves a set of 3-day passes to the Hong Kong Sixes 2025. Hope you guys enjoyed the tournament last week. Now, on to today's quiz. Some easy questions surrounding last week's Sixes. So question one. Who's the first bowler to take a hat trick in the Hong Kong Sixes? And for question two, where the Hong Kong-China team plays in the 2025 Hong Kong Sixes. That's it for today's Quick Buzz quiz. Share your answers in the comment section of the 8452 podcast's Instagram post or the Cricket Hong Kong China's Facebook post for a chance to win an official Hong Kong Sixes SG cricket ball. See you next week.
Hi, I'm Natasha Miles from the Cricket Hong Kong China women's team. Tune in to the all-new 8452 podcast driven by Cricket Hong Kong China on the CHKC YouTube, Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Episode 5 of the 8 for 52 podcast, proudly supported by Crick Buzz and driven by Cricket Hong Kong China, comes to an end. Team, another big one. We're all pretty tired after the Hong Kong Sixes, but we're back up and ready to do another episode. It's a good one. Well, let's start talking about in the dugout guest, Mariko. She was fabulous.
She was certainly fabulous. And just the amount of hard work she has put in her game, especially... she was very young when she actually started and now representing Hong Kong for over a decade, which is a great feat. And it's her birthday as well, so we all wish her happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mariko, and thanks for coming in the dugout for Episode 5. The men's team over in Asia and Qatar. Playing in the, let me get it right, Asia Cup Rise Emerging Nations Rising Stars. Something.
You will one day.
One of them? Right. What is it?
Yeah, something like that.
Hey, you don't know either. Well, it's in the intro. Go back and watch. I've said it three times. So, anyway, we're playing Bangladesh A, Sri Lanka A, and Afghanistan A. I know that for a fact. How do you think the team's going to go?
We are backing our team, aren't we, Jess?
Of course, of course.
Yes, so we are going to do really well, and that's why they're not going to be back by the 23rd of November.
I agree. I think they're going to go all the way to the finals with this A sides that they're playing, even though they're tough, and even though a lot of them we're playing here at the Hong Kong Sixers, I think we can get these three teams and get into the semi-final at least. So we'll keep an eye on that. Then plenty of games coming up for the next 2 weeks. After the next podcast is the Premier League final. So that'll be
30th.
Yes, you guys will be previewing that in episode 6, yes, as I'll be away. But the other games, lots of big ones. And my tipping's terrible.
I know. I think you're going to make a comeback this week.
If I don't, I'm not coming back.
Oh, you are?
No.
We're going to put you back.
I've only bought a one-way ticket anyway. No. I'm staying away. I'm not tipping ever again. Jazz will jump in and do the upcoming games. Couldn't do worse than I did last time. The Quick Buzz quiz, of course. Our proud supporters, Quick Buzz, this week giving away Hong Kong Sixers balls, those SG balls. That's something I know a lot of people at the ground on the weekend wanted. So, again, I think I'm just deciding this on the fly, but I think, again, you're going to have to get the questions off the podcast. We're not just going to put the questions up on the answers need to go in the 8 for 52 podcast post,
Instagram post,
or the Facebook post. Mm-hmm. But you have to watch and answer Jazz's questions for that one. Birthdays were good. There was a
very short one.
Yeah, good for you. Nice and short.
Yeah.
Mariko, of course, we've mentioned. Aftab and that weird, crazy man sticking his head behind the dugout at the end there, having a birthday coming up as well. I think that's about it. We're going to do another one coming up in a couple of weeks.
Wait.
What have you got?
Before we end, what? So how old is Bushy turning?
A year older than he did last year. 2 years older than 2 years ago. I'm not telling. I'm old enough. I'm certainly the oldest one on the dugout here. I will be celebrating that one overseas, so you guys won't ever know. So there, I'm not telling.
I thought we were invited.
Sure, jump on a plane. It'll be held.
Do the podcast over there.
It'll be held at the Asia Institute of Technology ground because I'll be commentating two games that day. So that's it for episode 5. Thanks to Atif. Thanks to Jazz. Oh, I think we've done. I'm gonna go. This is Bushy signing off.
The 8 for 52 podcast is written, produced and published by Aaron Bush, Atif Hussain and Jasmine Zito for Cricket Hong Kong China and Trip Ahead Limited. Copyright 2025.